Good morning, everyone. We are exactly about 24 hours plus before we have to do bedikat chametz, check our houses for Pesach. If you recall, last week we went through the entire reason as to why and what you have to clean for Pesach. So assuming you actually follow the halacha and don't go nuts, which I doubt, then ultimately tomorrow night we will fulfill the mitzvah, derabanan, as we said, the rabbinic commandment, of checking the house for chametz, going into the places that we usually bring chametz into and checking them. Now, do we make a bracha on this bidikat chametz?
Yes.
Everyone says yes. It's interesting you all say yes. I'm very interested.
It's actually on a beer or chametz.
Indeed, you're all right.
It's on the beer.
Let's see. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, this third source on the page, Amar Rav Yehuda, Habodeik Tzarich Sheivarech. If a person's checking for chametz, he has to make a bracha for it. Tzmai Mevarech, which bracha does he make? Rav Papi Amar Mishmei De Rava. Rav Papi says in the name of Rava, Levaer Chametz. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei De Rava, Al Biur Chametz. And as you all know, we paskin, Al Biur Chametz. Learning this Gemara, the Gemara says, Habodek tzarich shivarech. Does anyone see a chiddush here? The Gemara told me I have to make a bracha. I would have thought not. Thank God the Gemara says you got to make a bracha. Because if not, I wouldn't have done it. What's the assumption? Why did the Gemara have to go out of its way and say, take two lines, or a line and a half, and say, hey, don't forget to make a bracha? Anyone? Why do you have to make a bracha on bedikas chametz?
I would think he shouldn't, because he might not find anything.
So this shiur came from last night. You know, in Efrat and many other places, there's this big central location where you go to kasher the things you want to kasher for Pesach. What usually happens is you wait online, like you do at Six Flags and in Disney World and whatnot, for a long time. So Baruch Hashem, I have very good neighbors. One of them has a blowtorch. I took the blowtorch and I was kashering my stovetop last night. Kashering the stovetop, and I'm on the porch, and my wife is talking to me, and I'm talking to her, and one of my kids said, hey, you can't talk, you're in the middle of kashering. I said, no, it's okay, I didn't make a bracha. Which led me to a question. Why don't we make a bracha on kashering kelim, and we make a bracha on bedikas chametz? I'm already giving you the answer here. There's a big chiddush in this Gemara. How many people shaved this morning? Did you make a bracha? Asher kidishanu b'mitzvota v'tzivanu lo lihitgaleach betar, not to shave with a razor?
No.
When you ate kosher chicken last night for dinner, did you say asher kidishanu b'mitzvota v'tzivanu not to eat treif chicken? So why in God's name do we make a bracha on checking for chametz? Checking for chametz means that God said not to have chametz in the house. The rabbis added on, do a bedika. And ultimately, you would have asked me, I'd say, well, like every other prohibition in the Torah, you don't make a bracha. You never make a bracha on not doing something. Therefore, the Gemara had to go out of its way and say, Habodek tzarich sheyivarech. Because without it, we would have said, like any other prohibition in the Torah, God said not to eat pig. So I walk by ham, and I don't eat it. You don't make a bracha. Asher kedishanu mitzvota v'tzivanu not to eat ham. Ah, I didn't eat the ham. You're not supposed to have chametz. You're ascertaining it by doing bedikat chametz, by checking your house for chametz. You would have thought not to make a bracha, like you don't make a bracha on kashering your kelim. Kamash balan, the Gemara says you do. Interesting. That's what I would have said. And indeed, the question is, well, after we said all of that, you don't make brachas on prohibitions, why indeed do we make a bracha on bedikat chametz? Why is bedikat chametz the exception to the rule, and we do? Yeah.
Is it because the bedikah is part of the biur process, and that's what we'll end up doing? This is stage one.
Let's see. Let's see what the Rishonim say. It could very well be that it's the beginning of the, what did you say?
The biur process.
The biur process. If you weren't here last week, I would have said that's a very good svara. There's only one problem with it. Biur chametz, as we know it, does it mean getting rid of chametz, or does it mean bitul chametz? We said last week that on a D'oraisa level, on a biblical level, what you got to do is do bitul. So therefore, how can this be the beginning of bitul? This is actually getting rid of the chametz. You could say, okay, rabbinically, this is the way the rabbis wanted us to do it, and it's the beginning of the process. So we're starting by doing bedika, and tomorrow we'll actually get rid of it. I would have bought what you said. It's a very good svara. Many say it. There's only one problem I personally have with it. If that would be the case, and right before you burn it, which means actually getting rid of it, or before you throw it in the garbage, or you throw it, you get rid of it in other ways, make the bracha then. Why do you make the bracha when you check? After all, you can check and not find nothing.
We're going to do it again, another bracha.
No, we won't.
No, we don't.
It's a declaration, I guess.
We make a declaration. That's Bitul Chametz. We learned about it last week. Yeah. So let's look at the Ritva. Look on the page on the Ritva, the right side. The Ritva says on this Gemara, see, this is the exception to the rule. We do make a bracha. Why? The Ikar Mitzvah, Hainu Biur. Says the Ritva, just like Bruce, or Bruce says like the Ritva, that the Bedikat Chametz, the checking for the Chametz, it's Tikun Vehechsher. What does that mean? Says basically the Ritva that it's a tikkun and a hechsher, it's the beginning of getting ready to get rid of the chametz on a rabbinic level. After all, tomorrow morning we're going to get rid of the chametz. We're starting tonight by taking it out of the house or putting it in a corner in the house. Tomorrow we're going to continue the process by burning it, doing bitul, selling it. This is the beginning of the process, just like Bruce said. The Rabbeinu David, which is one of the amazing Rishonim, he has a perush that's second to none on the Gemara, Rabbeinu David. The problem with Rabbeinu David is, we only have him on one Masechta. Today you're in for a treat. Guess which Masechta? Huh?
Psachim.
Wow, everyone's awake today. Good, last week, remember I said one, two? No one can guess three. This week you're all awake. Baruch Hashem, you all listened, you all drank coffee. Says Chidushei Rabbeinu David in one of his Perushim. Don't say that the mitzvah is only when you burn it, when you actually get rid of it. After all, the Chachamim made a takana that you have to check the chametz. So if you didn't check, you just got rid of it, you didn't do the mitzvah. Kamash Balan Rav Yehuda, Shahabodek Mevarech Shehu Tchilat HaMitzvah. Therefore comes along Rav Yehuda in the Gemara and says, we're beginning the mitzvah, rabbinically, of getting rid of the chametz by doing this check. And therefore, like Bruce said, this is the beginning of the process of physically getting rid of the chametz. We're going to do three things, four things. We're going to check the house for chametz, physically remove it. Secondly, we're going to burn the chametz. Thirdly, we're going to sell some of the chametz. And fourthly, if we forgot, for whatever reason, we didn't find, like we said last week, we're going to do bitul chametz. How do we begin this whole process? Tomorrow night, Thursday night, after it gets dark, we start the process. Thus, it's not just staying away from a prohibition, says the Ritva Rabbeinu David. If it would just be not to do the prohibition of having chametz, you wouldn't make a bracha. Rather, what is it? It's an active way of ascertaining to get rid of the chametz. It's the beginning of the beer process. Rabbeinu David, however, is not happy with his perush. How do I know? Because he brings a second perush. Well, one of the Rishonim were very happy with what they said. They usually didn't bring another perush. Usually. Again, I'm generalizing. On the left side of the page, you can see Rabbeinu David says something differently. Mipnei sha'abdika hi meredo derabanan. Why do you make a bracha on bedikas chametz? Very simply. Forget about this idea of the beginning of a process and blah, blah, blah. I don't know processes. What do I know? Says Rabbeinu David, Kemo shamru hamadlik ner chanukah tzarech levarech, v'chen b'mikra megillah amru shu chayav levarech, v'hakol mipnei shehen mitzvot shel divrihem. In other words, says Rabbeinu David, why do you make a bracha? Like any other rabbinic enactment. If the rabbis wouldn't say to do bedikas chametz, I just do bitul, which means staying away from the prohibition, there'd be no bracha. But the rabbi said, no, actively check for chametz. So I'm making a bracha on a rabbinic commandment, like I do when I light the Hanukkah candles, like I do when I read Megillah. Now let's continue one more step. We're going to have it this year in Israel. Rare, but it happens. Like on the Erev Shvi'i Shel Pesach, I'm going to make a bracha on Eruv Tavshilin. And what bracha will I make? Asher kedishon lo b'mitzvot ha-vitzikon lo mitzvot eruv. The rabbi said to physically check. They made a takana to check. Or la'abar sabutkim et ha-chametz lo oraner, the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim. So I'm doing it to make a bracha. So we have two points of view as to why you make a bracha. The Ritva on the one hand and one of the Rabbeinu David say, it's the beginning of the biruch process. It's the beginning of physically getting rid of your chametz. According to Rabbeinu David, it's a takana, the Rabbanan, to check your house, you make a bracha on a rabbinic commandment. Or let's put it another way. According to the Ritva and Rabbeinu David, you're starting a process of not violating the mitzvah of Bal Yirah or Bal Yimotzeh, both rabbinically and biblically. According to Rabbeinu David, forget about you're not violating. If it would just be not violating, I wouldn't make a bracha. I don't make a bracha not to eat ham. Rather, it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanon, to check the house, and that's what I'm going to do. Is there any difference, ramification? After all, we're all religious Jews around this table. I didn't check, I'm assuming. And therefore, we're all going to do what the rabbi said. Is there any ramification between these two perushim? So we'll follow the Maxwell House Haggadah. I'm sorry to give Maxwell House at this time of the year all the credit. I get no royalties from Maxwell House. But in my time, when there was a machlokes, he always went to Maxwell House. Whatever he posked in the Haggadah, so be it. Like, you know, at the end of the Hallel, there's two minhagim. At the end of the Hallel of the Seder night, after you say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chazdo Hashem Ki Olam Ki Olam Chazdo, before the long Hodu, some people say Yahalelucha until the Bracha, then they say the long Hodu, Nishmat, and they say the end of Yishtabach. And another version is, no, you don't do that. You basically say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chazdo Hashem Ki Olam Chazdo. Then you do the long Hodu Nishmat, and at the end of Yishtabach you go back to the end of the Hallel. So do you go in order or go back? So it's a machlekes. Who passed in the halacha? Maxwell House. So by me, Maxwell House always passed in the halacha. So you open up. You remember those blue agadas? They're very flimsy. You open up Maxwell House. It says to check for chametz and please make this blessing be prior to checking your house for the leavened bread. I never can pronounce it right. And that's what I do. So is there any machkamina between the Ritva and Rabbeinu David? We'll see. Yeah.
I'm wondering if the process, it really is part of the process, the check. You know, it's not really a check. When I put my 10 little aluminum balls somewhere in it, it's like a
game. Let's get to the 10 aluminum balls in a minute.
But I'm just wondering, it's not really a check. So I don't know if it's a bracha vatala.
First of all, you are 100% wrong. Bruce, this is a real check. You have to check the house by virtue of a light, be it a candle or a flashlight, for places you usually put chametz into to make sure there's no chametz. At minimum, no kachav mezer of a kezayit. The Mishnah Berurah says even less of a kezayit if it's edible. You have to check. It's not a joke. It's not ceremonial. What? It's real. It's an absolute real check.
I put these 10 on my
Forget mind. About the 10. We'll get to the 10 in a minute. I'm saying right
now.
We'll get to the 10. Don't worry. I will deal with the 10 crumbs. But you have to check. You have to properly check the house. Well, it's not a joke. It's not ceremonial. It's not, all right, you make a bracha. Oh, no chametz. We cleaned the house. No, you have to check. That's the takana. The takana is not a joke. There's an enactment of our rabbis to check the house properly. Not to check the house and say, oh, we put the candle on, we take the feather, we take a picture for Facebook, and that's all we do. That's a bracha levatalo. Then for sure you'll make a bracha because you're not doing what the rabbi said. But if you do what the rabbi said, you check properly, you have to make a bracha. Either because, as you said, it's the beginning of the process, or it's just the kind of the rabbanon. Yes, Mr. Weiser.
Why somebody who leaves 3 days before, he has to make a, he comes back after Pesach. It's not going to be over there. God is lucky. Why does he have to bring kolitz? All right. Just
we talked about it last week, but you're absolutely right. A person 30 days before who's home has to make, like yourself, you're going away.
Tomorrow morning.
So what you have to do is tonight, you have to do bedikas chametz. The enactment of the rabbis was that you have to do bedikat chametz if you're there, if you're home 30 days prior to Pesach. And you have to check the house for chametz.
Tell me, I saw the chametz.
Why is a very good question? Why is a very good question? If the reason for bedikas chametz is because you may eat it, then you're not home. How are you going to eat it? And therefore, you shouldn't even have to do a bedikah. But there was another reason. There was another reason, and that is that you can't own chametz on Pesach. So, in order not to own chametz,
it's not mine.
So, first of all, the selling of the chametz is a much later thing that we do, not even at Takana. But I'll be honest with you. The second reason for bedikah is that maybe you don't mean the words of Bittul. In Bittul, what do we say? All the chametz is like dust. It's ownerless. What do you mean ownerless? Your house is locked. Your whiskey's in a cupboard. What do you mean ownerless? No, it's dust. What do you mean it's dust? Someone comes in and steals it. You're not going to go nuts? And therefore, the rabbis were very smart, and they said, maybe you don't mean the beetle. And I'm going to go a step further. When you sell your chametz, and I sell my chametz, and I think it's a very important thing that we sell our chametz, okay? Many people don't know what they're selling, and many times the Gentile doesn't know what he's buying. So just in case all of the above don't work, you have to check your house for chametz the night before. And again, the check shouldn't take that long as you keep a house that's clean. You go around the places where you usually eat.
You can't go nuts because that's good news.
Not like a bracha, without a bracha.
Without a bracha, because we're not sure what the reason is, correct, if you need to or not. You definitely need to do bedika. The question is, what's the reason? Therefore, you do it without a bracha.
You know, I go up there, and I haven't got a chance to burn there.
By the way, I didn't. We'll get to it in a moment, your case, in one of the ramifications. Why don't you make a bracha? We'll get to it. Give me a few minutes. So, is there any ramification? Now, ramification number one. What's the word biur mean in the bracha? Al biur chametz. Says the Rosh. Mina ra'uish yivarech kodem tika al bedikat chametz. V'tiktu lomar biur chametz. Why do you say biur chametz? After all, you're about to do. Bedikat chametz, says the Rosh. The fisha achar abdika miyadu mevatel. V'hayu biur lechametz sheino yadua lohum. Sniyata yadua lo v'ochem imon atcha chamishit v'az bevaru min abayit. V'al esek ze nigrara habracha shel bedika shehu tchilata biur v'nigbar b'sha chamishit. Says the Rosh, why do we make a bracha al biur chametz? After all, we're not doing biur, we're not burning, we're not getting rid of, we're just checking bedika, says the Rosh, because it's the beginning of the process of the biur. So if you ultimately check your home, and then the next day you're going to burn it, this is the beginning of the process. Rabbeinu Maharam Chalava, which is another perush of a Rishon we usually don't have on Shas, Maharam Chalava, which is really should pronounce Malam Chalava, but we Ashkenazim made him Ashkenazic, the Maharam Chalava says differently. He says, wait, no, the reason for doing a bracha is not that it's the beginning of the process, but it's an actual takana. So why don't you say bedika? Umayde mevarech belashon biur, lav lashon sreifahu. It doesn't mean burn it. The halo sarifle, you're not about to burn it. El lashon bedikahu belashon biarti hakodesh min habayit. Says the Maharam Chalava. All of our brachos, most of our siddur, like the Abu Dram says, is not based on modern Hebrew. It's not even based on messianic Hebrew from the word Mishnah. It's based on biblical Hebrew. In the Torah, we have the word biur. In what context? He tells you which context. Biarti hakodesh min habayit. What context is that? Anyone know? Give you a hint. Parshat Ki Tavo, second Aliyah. It's called Vidui Masrot. What do you do in Vidui Masrot? You do a check. What kind of check? Did I give proper masrots for the last 3 years? Did I give it to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Ani? Did I eat the Maaser Sheni? Did I put the Maaser Sheni on a coin and bring it to Yerushalayim? Are you actually burning anything? No, but what words do you use before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bi'arti HaKadosh min habayit. So in the law, in the words of the Torah, biblical Hebrew, biarti, biur, doesn't mean burn. But what does it mean?
To get rid of.
No. To check. I checked my home, I checked my books, I checked the, what is it called? The ledger. And the ledger said I did everything right with masros. And what do I say before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In English I'd say I did everything good. In Hebrew I'd say biarti, HaKadosh min habayit. Biur means check. So big nafkamina. Why do you use the word beer? According to the Rosh, it's the beginning of the beer process, of the burning process, we'll call it. According to the Maharam Chalava, forget about it. What do you mean beginning of the process? Beginning of the process? We make a bracha right before we do something. What is it? In biblical Hebrew, beer means?
It's a check.
Check. Second ramification. Let's assume that your wives and you, and I hope no one's here this morning chickening out from cleaning. Let's assume you cleaned the house very, very well. There isn't a crumb left. Nothing. You know this before you start the bedikas chametz. There's nothing left. And you didn't put out those famous 10. Do you make a bracha on the bedika or not?
Well,
depends. Let's see. The Shilta Giborim says, "Ubepartes katuv, ubekikar arishon shemoise mevarech." Says the Rama, "Venohagim laaniach petitei chametz bimkom sheimatzem abodek." Kedei shelo yeh bracha levatala. The Ramah brings a famous minhag that you put out the 10 or whatever, the 9 or something. Why? Because if you don't find anything, how can you say it's the beginning of the process of getting rid of it? Let's see the scenario. A lady says to his wife, to her husband, take all the chametz that's left, give it to a whatever, to a non-Jew. He takes it out of the house. Then she cleans the house, something terrible. She washes the floor. She does a sponge. She takes a vacuum. She does everything possible. There isn't a self-righteous crumb left. We just said that bedikas chametz, the beginning of what?
The process.
Of getting rid of the chametz. But I already did. By the time Tzedek Kochavim came, there's nothing left. And therefore, how can you make a bracha? Therefore, the Ramah says, in order to make a bracha, you have to physically put some chametz in, so you could say it's the beginning of the process. However, if the reason for the bracha is only because the rabbi said to check, am I checking?
Yes.
Let's say I find nothing. Did I still do the takana?
Yes.
Absolutely, says the Maharam Chalava, based on the same logic. V'hilchach. Therefore, Yatzalo Mizelo Minhag Anashim. Here comes the Minhag of the women. When Rishonim say Minhag of the women, we got to get nervous. Not all Rishonim had a very high regard for women at their time. And especially when they say Minhag Anashim, you know that they're about to, you know, degrade someone here, and this is what's about to happen, so everyone get ready. Okay? But this is a custom of women. The Maram Chalava has to ascertain and acknowledge it very respectfully. And he says, Shemazminot chametz b'shat abdika, kedei shelo tiyeh bracha levatala, says the Maram Chalava. The lav minhagu, this is not a minhag, why? The ein bracha elo achipus v'abdika, ben matza, uben lo matza, says the Maram Chalava. You don't have to put out crumbs. Because the bracha is on what? Not in the beginning of the process of getting rid of chametz, but rather on the check. Am I checking? Yes, so therefore you don't have to make a bracha. And the Ramah says, indeed, lahalacha, umi'im lo natan, lo ikev, if you didn't put out those 10, no problem. The dat kol adam, la bracha levayarim nimtza. Says the Ramah, because your idea is, if you find, you will get rid of it. But the bottom line is, says the Maram Chalava, forget about the Ramah's way of getting out of the bracha problem. For me, biur means check. Am I checking? Yes. I don't need to put out any crumbs. So this is a huge ramification. Do we need to put out the 10 or not? If you say the bracha is the beginning of the process, then you have to put out something, because if not, it's a bracha levatala. But if you say it's not the beginning of the process, if you say the bracha is on the check, you don't have to put out anything. By the way, if you do put out chametz, and you are choshesh that it's the beginning of the process, you better put out crumbs that are at least how big?
Kezayit.
A kezayit. Matchbox. Don't put out a crumb. Put out a matchbox. That's if you're choshesh. Yeah.
Is this similar when I do the biur the next morning? I throw it into the bin as I make my declaration. I can't say the declaration before I do it. If I wait too long, it's ashes. It's gone already. So I'm trying to make my declaration while it's still in the world, and I'm doing the act.
No. You're getting mixed up with two things. When you throw the chametz into the ashes, okay, it has to be real chametz, because we're choshesh for one day that says you have to, the only way to get rid of chametz is to burn it. So that being true, you have to put it in without anything on the chametz. It has to be edible for at least a dog's consumption, and then you burn actual chametz.
But when do I make the declaration?
You make the declaration afterwards, because bitul is, if I didn't find the chametz and didn't get rid of it, like somewhere in the house, then I make a bitul on all that. But one doesn't have to do with the other. Okay? So we found two ramifications as to what we said, then we'll just summarize, and then we'll go one step further. We said, why do we make a bracha? After all, we're just staying away from a prohibition. Either this is the beginning of the process, or the Chachamim said to check, so I'm doing it. Ramification number one, what does Biur mean? Does it mean the beginning of the process of getting rid of the chametz, or does it mean, no, check? Secondly, do you have to put out 10? According to the Deya that it's the beginning of the process, you better put out the 10, or 9, or 8, or 1. Why? Because if not, you made a bracha levatala. What beginning of what process? You already got rid of the chametz. According to the second Deya, you're checking. So therefore, checking is good enough, you make a bracha. Now we get to Mr. Wise, who was going away for Pesach. He has to check chametz because he's home 30 days before Pesach. Does he make a bracha?
No.
Everybody agrees not. Right? The question is why. The Meiri says like this, V'chol eil shebotkim kodlem hazman, yesh umim she'en mevarchin, v'she'en sha'at ha-mitzvah l'me'or ha-barsa, v'yesh umim shebarchin v'no nirakein. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, ha-mefaresh mi-yabasha la-yam o-yotzeh b'shayara, if a person's going away, v'eino m'niach b'bito mishi yivdok toch 30 yom, and a person's not there within 30 days, zakuk livdok v'lo yivarech az al biyur chametz. A person shouldn't make a bracha when he goes away. So if he's not home on the 14th of night, he doesn't make a bracha al biur chametz. Why not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Keshebodek b'leil yudal tikun lebarech al biur chametz, lefi shema shehu motzei bebdikano hu matzniyo kedei levaro lemachar nimtzad dahabdikao atchalat biur." Says the Mishnah Berurah, just like we said earlier, what's bedikas chametz? Bedikas chametz is the beginning of the getting rid of the chametz process. And therefore he says, Mashain Kane, this is not the case with Mr. Weiser. Kan shelo yivaro min ha'olam, yishtamesh bo b'shar yamim, ashu mefaneo mibayi lezeh. Mr. Weiser's not even going to be home. What do you mean? He's going away. He's not going to be there to burn that chametz the next day. So it's not the beginning of the process for him. And therefore he doesn't make a bracha.
Isn't the sale, if you go away and you're going to sell everything, part of that process of getting rid of it nevertheless? So you do the check.
The question is, which sale do you use? Do you sell your whole house before the 14th, and therefore you have no chiyuv of bedikas chametz according to one daya, or not? Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shulchan Aruch Harav was the founder of the Lubavitch movement, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, who said as follows: Bedikas zol oivarech al biyor chametz kedar shemevachin al bedikah lel yudalet kivan sheina bizman haikari shetiknu lachachamim. Very simply, don't tell me it's not the beginning of the process. I won't be home. I won't be able to burn the chametz. Simply. The takan of the Chachamim was to do bedikas chametz when?
Well, before.
Tomorrow night. Oh, yeah. If you're doing it earlier, it's not the original takana. That's why you don't make a bracha. The bracha was on the check of the 14th. Simple.
But then why do it?
14th?
You have to make sure to check your house for chametz to get rid of the chametz physically.
But the chametz is where you're selling your whole house.
Again, if you're selling your whole house, it's a machlokas, do you need to do bedikas chametz? But if you're not selling your whole house, you're selling the chametz within the house, obviously the non-Jew assumes, what's chametz? Oh, the whiskey bottle, the bag of noodles, a roll. But not the kezayit of Cheerios that are behind the bed where I usually eat. Therefore, we're assuming that maybe that's not part of the sale.
But why can't you do the bedikah tonight?
He has to do the bedikah tonight, why can't.
With the bracha, I mean.
It's because says one day, it's not the beginning. You can't say it's the beginning of a process when more than 24 hours goes by between the bedika and the biur. Or in many cases, a person leaves his house a week before. How can you say it's the beginning of the process? The process continues for 10 days. What do you mean? But if you're the night before, within 24 hours, I can understand. It's the beginning of the process. Within 12 hours, this chametz is gone. According to the other daya, the bracha was on the actual night that the Chachamim said to do it. Which night was that?
Tomorrow night.
Right.
But he can't do the bedikah tonight with a bracha, and then tomorrow morning before leaving the biur, a little early because he's leaving tomorrow.
Why would he do the biur tomorrow? He can still eat the chametz.
He decides he's not going to. He just decides, you know what, I'm not going to be around.
You can do whatever you want, but again, the question is, when you say the beginning of a process, it's not a beginning of the process, and I'll tell you why. Even if you check your chametz tonight, Wednesday, and tomorrow, which is Yud Gimel, you burn it. You can't do Bitul chametz yet, because I'm assuming that Mr. Weiser's chametz tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. So what kind of Bitul was that?
Because you told yourself you're not going to.
Oh, you're not going to. You made a takana on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting question. You made a takana on yourself. You took a neder. I'm not eating any chametz till Pesach.
No, you know you're leaving, so you
answer.
Early.
This would only work on one situation. Halacha is very clear that when you make a neder on yourself, you don't make brachas on yourself. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to do something, it has credence. If you yourself said, I won't do it, it doesn't necessarily have credence. And I'll give you I can give you many examples, but let's just give you one example of many. Okay? If a person says, I'm not going to eat chametz in that room, but within 30 days he did, does he have to check that room? Answer is yes. Why? Because he usually brings chametz in there. If the halacha told him not to, he doesn't have to go ahead and check that room. Moving on, what's the answer? Why do we make a bracha? So we said two reasons today. Either because it's the beginning of the getting rid of the chametz process, or it's a takana of chacham to do bedika, to check. And we gave three ramifications. What were they? Number one, What does the word biur mean? Does it mean the beginning of getting rid of? Or does it mean?
Check.
Number two, what happens if there's no crumbs left in the house? According to the first day, it's the beginning of the process. You didn't begin any process. There's nothing left. According to the second, it is the beginning. It's not the beginning of no process. You're doing the check. And number three, why doesn't someone that's leaving his house early make a bracha? Either because it's not the beginning of the process, it's a long time between the time he's going to check his house and the time he's going to get rid of the chametz, or because the takana was on checking on the night of the 14th. He didn't check. La halacha, what do we say?
Is this halacha on the property or on you? Because if you do all this and you're going to go to a hotel, you can continue that process in the hotel.
What do you mean you can continue the process in the hotel?
You did the particular in your house. You put all the chametz in your
if
car.
Anything,
you go to the hotel,
if anything,
you didn't be there at the right time.
If anything, when you get to the hotel, and if you have to check your room, which is doubtful, then, and only then, do you have to, you could say maybe a bracha. You can't say a beginning of a process is something that's self-inflicted. La halacha. Is there an actual conclusion on this question? The answer is no. Everyone agrees that if you check tomorrow night, you make a bracha. Everybody agrees that if you check early, you don't. Is there a conclusion? The Mishnah Berurah brings no conclusion. Hatas katavo de habracha kaya mashi ver lemachar bevadai mashi sher miachilato. Ela shemehayom atchila yidei abdika vechaniskar lemala besiman taf lamed ala vechen iskimo achronim ledina. According to the Taz, the bracha is the beginning of the process. So if it's the beginning of the process, go through all the ramifications again. You better put out something so that the bracha is not levatala. But the Mishnah Berurah says, right there, cholek alzeh, other people, and say, "Then can chashash bracha levatala. Dechenu a mitzvah liftok a chametzah v'chapes acharav. Shema yimtza ve'im lo yimtza en bekach klum." Says the Mishnah Berurah, the mitzvah is just to check. I'm checking. If I find nothing, great. You did a great job, everyone. Let's go to sleep. I'm doing the takana of the chachamim to check. So there is no conclusion on this particular question, because ultimately I have to admit that if there was a conclusion, namely, the conclusion was we are the checking the chametz, and we don't care if we find it or not, then my advice to everyone would be, don't you dare put out those 10. You want to know why?
You may not find them.
First of all, you may not find them. Second of all, they can make a few more crumbs, and you won't get to them. It's a bad idea, a day before Pesach, to self put into the house chametz. But because there is no conclusion on this, and maybe it is the beginning of a process, I say it's a good idea. Put out those 10 crumbs. Be careful. Put it into something that ultimately you'll be able to burn, and maybe it doesn't make crumbs as well. My personal advice is put it in newspaper. You put it in tinfoil, it'll never burn. You put it in newspaper, it will burn. It will burn well. It will be edible, and everything's fine.
Wrap it in paper towels.
Or paper towels is good too.
I know somebody who wants to buy, he buys a pizza. Specifically, that pizza is designated as his.
That's the nafkamina here, and that's why there's no conclusion. Why is he buying a pizza? If the whole idea was to check, he wouldn't have to buy no pizza. The idea is to get rid of the chametz, he did. The idea is to check, he does. That's it. But if it's the beginning of the process, then he has to go out, buy chametz, bring it in, and do it. The same thing is true. We could take this whole shear and say, let's give a shear about, do we have to burn our chametz? Same idea. If we're choshish for the day in the Gemara that says you have to, the only way to get rid of chametz is to burn it, then yeah, you have to burn it. On the other hand, if the idea is to burn the chametz, get rid of it, and that's the only way you can get rid of it, you have to buy chametz in order to burn it. But if the idea is, no, have no chametz in your house, you have to go out of your way to find chametz. If you happen to have, you burn it. If you don't, great. You found another way of getting rid of your chametz. You ate it. You ate it. Very good. Reb Chaim has that very big chakira, asking, what is the nature of the word biur? Does it mean to actively get rid of your chametz? Or no, in ascertaining you have no chametz in the house. The same idea with regard to bedika. Is it ascertaining you have no chametz in your house? Or is the beginning of an active process to get rid of it? Because there's no conclusion, we do both. We both get rid of our chametz by cleaning our homes. We indeed put out usually those 10 to be choshesh for the day that it's the beginning of the process. Then we burn it to be choshesh for that day. We do all the above. Believe me, by the end of the above, the chametz is gone with the wind, literally. That's one of the ways to get rid of the chametz.
In terms of family minhag, if your father tells you, you know, in our family, my father told me that his father, if we buy special chametz that we're going to put out, because we do a green check before, so that's, the things like that become a family minhag that must be maintained. Was that very...
That particular minhag makes sense according to one of the two deals we brought today. It's not far-fetched.
Should one maintain that kind of a minhag?
Again, I wouldn't call it a minhag. I would call it a good idea. Maybe it's a bracha levatala if you don't find chametz, because the beginning of the process, and therefore it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. To call it a minhag, I don't think everything a family does is a minhag.
Well,
do with the greatest respect, many families scream at each other before Pesach. I wouldn't say it's a minhag to scream at each other. But ultimately, I would say it's a good idea, very good idea, to be choshesh for that one day. Again, if there was a conclusion on this, and the conclusion would be we're making the bracha on the check, right. My advice to the Jewish people would be, don't bring chametz into your house unless you need it. If you don't need it, don't bring it in. It's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. But because there is credence to it, then ultimately, we go ahead and we say that, hey, we have a reason to, and therefore we do. You know when else this question comes up? On the rare time that Erev Pesach Chaliyot B'Shabbos, when the eve of Pesach is Shabbos, what do you do to have Lechem Mishnah at the meal? On the one hand, Shabbos morning, you can't eat matzah yet, because you're not going to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. On the other hand, you eat chametz, you're going to maybe trip before your dishes. So people have different solutions, and each solution isn't crystally clear because there's always a reason not to do it. One reason is, one way is egg matzah. Egg matzah, you can't be yotze yedei chovah at the Seder, so you probably can eat it on Erev Pesach. However, there's a Rambam that says egg matzah is only if you use the four mashkin. Yayim, dvash, shemen, v'chalav. Since they use egg matzah, they use other things, maybe you could use it at the Seder. So you can use egg matzah. So what do we do for Lechem Mishnah? We have to use bread, but bread would trape up the dishes. It would make the whole house crazy. So if you would ask me, if it wouldn't be a Rambam like that, saying that egg matzah you could be yotze at the Seder, I would have said, everyone should use egg matzah. Why put yourself in a situation where you may trape up your dishes and whatnot? But there is a Rambam, so there's a reason. And we're very makel there, because then what do we say? After you finish your meal, take your pitas, whatever you're going to use, and throw it out, etc. Isn't that a chana mikodesh lechol, or kodesh lekodesh in this case? You're preparing from Shabbos to Pesach? Yes, we have reason to, so we find ways to get around it when there's reason. When there's no reason, why get into trouble? Why bring chametz into your house? So here you see why, because if it's the beginning of the process, you're bringing it into your house for a good reason. But if there was no good reason, I would say, don't look for trouble. Don't look for trouble. So God willing, tomorrow night we'll all check chametz, and we'll all make a bracha, and Be'ezrat Hashem have in mind, either it's the beginning of the process, or I'm doing what the rabbi said, to check my house for chametz. The most important thing is to check in the places where you brought your chametz into, not to check in the places you don't bring chametz into. Do not look for tiny things that are not edible for human consumption, and ultimately do a proper check, and Amir Tzah Hashem, you'll have a house free of chametz and a beautiful 7-day holiday full of matzah and many other delicacies that make us constipated. Everyone should have a Chag Sameach V'Kasher.